A rift is widening among dissidents in Cuba over how to bring about democratic change on the island. One camp wants to work with the regime of President Fidel Castro. The other rejects Castro's authority altogether. Both sides have grown increasingly vocal against the government, but NPR's Jerry Haddon reports from Havana that their split appears to be undermining their efforts to pressure a regime that is adept at controlling opposition voices.
This month, Cuba set free one of its most well-known political prisoners, Dr. Oscar Elias Bisset. Bisset served 3 years for hanging a Cuban flag upside down during a protest. Back at his Havana home, he remains defiant.
Because to ask for freedom of association, religion, press, or speech is a crime. If you were simply on the street, standing peacefully with a sign that read, "No to abortion," that would be a crime.
Bisset's release made the international news, but Cuba's official press didn't cover it. State-run media doesn't give space to dissident activities, such is the case with Cuba's most significant reform movement, the Varela Project. Organizers handed the government 11,000 signatures last spring, demanding a referendum on greater political freedoms. Cuba's constitution allows for citizens' petitions, but the government has so far not directly responded. Instead, it hastily organized its own referendum to make socialism the irrevocable system of governance. Now, an increasing number of dissidents are saying the incident shows that change is impossible under Castro. Marta Beatriz Roque heads a newly launched network of some 300 tiny dissident groups called the Assembly to Promote Civil Society.
The Varela Project raised all these expectations, with people believing that with the 11,000 signatures we now have democracy. Many dissidents are against this.
Roque's group would like to draft a new constitution and hold elections for new leaders. Her assembly and Varela Project leaders are sparring publicly and with increasing rancor. They cast their spat as simply democratic debate in action, but some say the rift plays perfectly into Castro's hands by preventing a united domestic front against his one-party state. Jesus Uniega is an independent journalist. The Varela Project is not the solution, he says, and lamentably it has divided not only the dissidents on the island, but abroad as well. Varela Project organizers have continued to gather signatures, hoping to keep up international pressure on Castro's regime. Such dissident activity, as divided as it is, was unheard of in Cuba during the Cold War, when thousands of government opponents languished in jails. Outside observers, however, don't believe the government has truly loosened its grip on dissent. Bill Schultz is the head of Amnesty International's Americas program.
What we're seeing here is a pattern in which there seem to be fewer long-term detentions, but more short-term arrests, short-term detentions, various other forms of harassment.
Cuba has been trying hard to clean up its international human rights image by freeing prisoners and arguing it safeguards the most fundamental rights via universal health care and education. And it may be working. Though each year the UN's Human Rights Commission condemns the Castro regime for abuses, the General Assembly earlier this month voted overwhelmingly against the U.S. trade embargo on Cuba. After the balloting, the president of Cuba's National Assembly, Ricardo Alarcón, was jubilant.
La más amplia representación de la sociedad civil.
The widest representation of society and important business groups are calling for the elimination of the blockade and the normalization of economic ties with Cuba.
Alarcón was referring to what Cuba hopes is a viable trend within the U.S. towards ending its 40-year economic isolation. U.S. farmers have sold $230 million in goods to Cuba in the last year, and their congressmen are campaigning to lift the ban on Americans traveling to Cuba. Almost all island dissidents agree that would speed change. Jerry Haddon, NPR News, Havana.